Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. My co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course Sam Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay? Congratulations on the New York Knicks clinching the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference, and they are number 1 in the Atlantic Division.
Yep, they have home court advantage throughout. Well, until the second round, so. That's going to be good.
Yep, it's going to be Celtics versus the Knicks.
Yep.
And hopefully, as we would assume, this time hopefully we'll do what the Celtics did to us in 2010 when Celtics swept us, you know, 4 straight games. Hopefully we'll return the favor.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pay the max for that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Final score of the Knicks game, 90-80, Knickerbockers. Knicks just clinched the second seed, and they're off to the playoffs. And, they defeated Pacers. Pacers and Knicks were fighting for that number 2 seed. And Knicks basically outpaced the Pacers and got the number two seed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And now they could rest their guys and get ready for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you heard, but they expect everybody to be healthy for game one.
Mm-hmm.
And even Rasheed Wallace, they think he might come back against the Hawks or something.
Yeah, man. If we get the bigs, it's going to be, man, we're going to get Chandler, Rasheed, and Kenyon Martin.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
going to help us a lot.
Oh, yeah. Can you say alley-oop?
Mm-hmm. Not only alley-oop, but, like, inside presence, defensive.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are going to give us defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, like Rasheed Wallace says, man, ball don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be lying. The only time we'll be lying is when one of these big guys swat it out of the air.
Yep. I can't wait.
Oh, man. Man. I think we're missing for this postseason of the NBA and NBC team song.
Yeah.
Going old school, man.
Yep. Knicks are back as a number. It's been a long time since 95. 1995 was the last time they had a two seed, so it's been a long time. 18 years, to be exact.
Yeah. The last time they've won the division since 94, and of course, we all know 94, the Knicks lost in 7 to Houston Rockets in their first ever championship
right.
Win. And then, of course, the Rockets would later sweep the Orlando Magic 4 games. So,
yeah.
So that hopefully the Knicks can get that magic like they last had 40 years ago in 1973. Hopefully, 40 years will be worth the wait. But they gotta get past the first the Celtics, which we think we will do it, and ultimately the Heat. So if Knicks get deeper.
Well, the Knicks are playing like a team of destiny. I mean, they've won the last 15 out of 16 games now, so.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing really well.
They had their 13 game winning streak snapped just earlier this week on, Wednesday or Thursday that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and our former ally / current nemesis, Nate the Great Robinson, you know, he's scoring on the Knicks. You know, trying to stick it to us because, you know, we got rid of him.
And he played really well, you know, but the Bulls, you know, the Bulls play good against the good teams, but they play bad against the worst teams.
Yep. Very inconsistent, you know. But then again, they are undermanned. You know, they got Derrick Rose, who literally hasn't played a game this whole season, you know. I mean, I'm surprised people didn't bet to see who would start the season first. Derrick Rose or, I'm trying to remember the center that used to be on the Lakers, who's now on the 76ers. I see his face, but I can't remember his name.
Bynum?
Yeah, Bynum. Andrew Bynum.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one didn't take any bets to determine who's going to start the season first. But it looks like none of them are. It looks like it's going to be a tie right here.
Yeah, probably won't be playing until next year.
Yeah. And there's conflicting reports. I mean, I've heard that, Derrick Rose doesn't want to play because, you know, he doesn't think he's 100%, so he don't want to test it. But you've heard a conflicting report basically saying that, you know, as you would assume, a star player, a superstar player, you know, with your team, you got a good team, you know, the rumor is, like, you, from what you heard, is basically he wants to come back, you know, he wants to start, you know, but we shall see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I mean, if he's been cleared to play, I heard, so, I mean, if he's cleared to play, he should be playing already, you know?
Yeah, no doubt, man.
So whether it's him or whether it's the Bulls organization, I mean, he just needs to get out there and play.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, this is his chance. Who knows? This could be his, You know, I know the Bulls are talented, and he's a very talented player. But you never know. This could be his best and only chance of winning the championship. Who knows?
Yeah, and he gives them the best shot at winning the championship. I mean, without him, I don't think they stand a chance at beating, you know, teams like the Bulls or the Knicks even in the playoffs.
You're talking about the Rose with the Bulls, right?
Yeah, like if without Rose, I don't see them beating the Heat or the Knicks in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, they're a very talented team. I mean, they've been underdogs. You know, they out hustle, they out muscle other teams. Wow, I think I have Walker Frazier right there. But you know, they're a tough physical team, man. You know.
Yeah, they are. So
I mean, but yeah, I totally agree. I don't think they're gonna win it without Rose.
Yeah, and they're gonna in the first round. It looks like right now they'd be facing the Pacers. So that'll be a defensive battle.
Who'd be facing the Pacers?
The Bulls would be facing the Pacers in the first round. That'd be a defensive battle.
Oh yeah. And who's he gonna be facing?
And he will be facing the Bucks.
Heat versus Bucks. And he's gonna advance, as we always expect.
Down the pace, and that's catering to what they want to do. They're not skilled as the Knicks. Wait for the Knicks to shoot the ball.
So, congratulations to the Knicks, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, Carmelo, he's in the hunt for the, you know, scoring title, but, you know, with the Knicks, you know, winning the second seed and him, you know, having a contusion in his arm, which is basically a bruise, rightfully they might rest them tomorrow, and you know obviously they're gonna eventually rest all the other guys, you know, because you know we gotta this is what it's all for.
Yeah, I think they should rest them. I mean, you know, there's only two games left, so you know.
Yeah.
And you already wrapped up everything. You wrapped up the division and the number two seed, so there's nothing you need to play for now.
Yeah, all these other stuff is just basically statistics, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot. And for as long as I remember, like, 92, I've been a Knicks fan. I mean, I can't remember being a fan of any other team or Knicks before that. You know, it's been a long time since, hey, man, we've never seen the Knicks win a championship in 73. Hopefully Knicks can have a miraculous run here.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, yeah, tomorrow they're going to face the Bobcats and the Hawks. And then I think that's all she wrote until the postseason.
Yeah, and they're going to get the big guys like Tyson Chandler, Rasheed Wallace, and Kenyon Martin back soon. So that's going to help us even more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Most definitely. So, yeah, we definitely need these guys to stay healthy. And produce. And man, kid, man, he had a bunch of steals today.
Yeah, a bunch of steals, but he had a bunch of missed shots also.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's
he has to like I don't know. Sometimes he's off with his three pointer. So
yeah, it's like he's aiming the shot instead of just letting it go.
Yeah. So, but he's been playing good for us. So. In the playoffs, I know he's gonna be he's gonna be clutch.
Yeah.
In the past few weeks, it really.
Man, so congratulations to the Knickerbockers, man.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Division champions. Atlantic Division champion. And the Nets. They helped us out a few days ago by beating the Pacers to set up, the scenario for us to defeat, the Pacers at home and clinch at home. And let's see, the Nets game is also over also.
Yeah, but the Nets ended up losing today to the Raptors, so... Nets are still fighting for a playoff spot as far as, playoff seeding, I should say.
Right. I think they're trying to fight for third place, I think.
Yeah. Well, They're trying to fight for third, but right now they might end up four or five.
Four,
so
right. Exactly.
You gotta be careful here.
Exactly. The final score of that game was 93-87. Nets fell in Toronto. And who's the team that they played? Was it yesterday?
I can't remember. They played a team recently. Pacers they beat. Well, yeah, they beat the Pacers.
All right, yeah, I guess that is what I'm thinking of.
But, you know, I think they want to get the four seed, four or five, to play the Hawks because I think they feel like they have a great chance of beating the Hawks.
Yeah, but they'll never admit that publicly, I mean, because, you know, guys, teams want to, you know, have that aura like they could defeat anybody.
Right.
But sometimes seedings are a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't want to face the Heat. And Bucks has that unfortunate task of facing them first.
Yeah, and there's nothing Bucks can do about it.
Yep. I would imagine if Bucks forfeit the 8th seed and say, you know what, we don't even want to play in the playoffs. That'd be hilarious. That'd be kind of like that Survivor episode when that team, the fan favorites, the favorites, basically, you know, they'd even play. They threw the competition. They'd even compete.
Oh, right.
Just to eliminate Brandon. Oh, man. But, yeah, let's, congrats to the Knicks. All right, let's move over to a little baseball. The Yankees, they're going to play later tonight against the Orioles. Huge loss yesterday to the Orioles by the score 5-3, I believe.
Yeah, Yankees have been playing good recently. I mean, they were on riding, what was it? I think it was a three-game winning streak or something, I think.
Right.
And they were 5-4. They were tied for first place. But, you know, right now they're back at 500. So right now they're second place, I think, in a division. But they've been doing well, you know, better than I expected, you know, without the big guns. Guys like Hafner, Wells, you know, veteran guys, you know, who've been in the league for years now, you know, they're stepping up and helping the Yankees, you know, down the stretch until the big guys like Jeter, Teixeira, Granison come back, you know, and A-Rod. You know, Cano's, you know, playing real well right now. He's hitting the ball. So,
right.
You know, hopefully we could keep it up, you know, and maintain this, maintain at least, you know, second place in the division until the other guys come back.
Right. So who's, who are you guys going to face next?
That I'm not sure. That I'll have to check.
Let me check quickly to see who you guys are facing.
Well, after the Orioles, let me see.
Let's see. Yankees will be, darn it. Oh, Yankees are having a rematch of the 2001 World Series. Yankees versus D-backs.
Oh, D-backs, okay.
In the Bronx.
Yeah, so
Yankees should win that game because I believe Luis Gonzalez is retired, so you guys are good. But
well, we've had rematches with them before, but yeah, I mean it'll be a good matchup. I think that's gonna be at Arizona, right?
I know it's in the Bronx.
Actually, at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, it's gonna be at Yankee Stadium.
I think you guys are gonna sweep them because maybe Byung Kim might come out of retirement. But all seriousness, you know, it should be a interesting series. You know, to be honest with you, flash shift to the Mets quickly. I consider myself a sports purist, however, I do like interleague play. But I like interleague play the way how it was prior to this year. They ruined interleague, man. By them putting the Astros in the American League. Now interleague is every day, man, and I don't like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, there would be like a couple week period where you'd have interleague games. Now it's like random now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I liked about it. I like the I like the randomness of it, and you know, you can have like maybe a week, maybe a week or two playing interleague, trying to make you have like a you know, like a fantasy matchup of how two teams, you know, who never faced each other in the World Series. I mean, obviously, it's not gonna really amount to whether the team would win or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part of interleague is kind of like, you know, having, you know, World Series rematches. I mean, obviously, it's not the same caliber of an actual World Series, but it's just kind of interesting to see.
Right.
But now they just overkilled it. I mean, the interleague play is random. One week you're playing Orioles. The next week the next series you're playing Braves. I mean, not Braves. D-backs. I mean, it's just there's no method to the madness, man.
Yeah, and now, like, you know, when we play the Mets, our crosstown rivals, now it's instead of a six-game series, it's a four-game series.
Four, and exactly, and it used to be on the weekends. Now it's like two games each, 4 days in a row, you know, on the weekdays and weekends, whenever they're setting it up. It's just, they just butchered it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was because people were complaining, you know, this is what you get for complaining about it, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't complaining.
I'm not sure, but I'm saying, like, you know, there were, like, people who were, like, complaining, oh, we have to play Yankees, six games, you know, the team's up. I mean, this is what you get. This is what happened.
I mean, it's the way it is what it is. I mean, that's just the way it is what it is. I mean, that's the way it was, so,
yeah.
You know, I lived with it.
I didn't have any problem with it, you know? I didn't have any problem with it, but,
well,
you know.
Didn't have any problem with it, because you guys usually... you know, on the winning end of the stick, man. So
yeah, but I mean, like, you know, these are all games. Like, your baseball team, your professional team, you should whoever you're playing, you should go out and play hard and try to beat them. You know, it doesn't matter.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I mean, no excuses.
And plus, I like that.
You know, it made the Subway Series game more valuable because when you have teams playing your natural rival. Like, if you're playing the same home state or near, you know, like a surrounding area, it made the games matter. And if you look statistically at the interleague stuff, you know, interstate or, you know, like around the same area, I mean, those areas are great. It's the ones that don't make any sense that they play, you know, two cities that have nothing in common playing against each other. That's what kills interleague.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's move on to the Mets here. Mets, they had their game snowed out. Mets, they swept the Twins in this. Now it's a two-game series. And the highlight of that, Nice, he didn't pitch that well on Friday night. But the Mets, man, they were just... They had a hit parade. John Buck, I mean, he had like a grand slam. People were just hitting at will. And Mets scored like, you know, 16 runs in that game on Friday.
Yeah. I mean,
what were you going to say? You guys
have been playing really well, man. You guys just have to give you guys credit. I mean, you guys have been hitting well and pitching well. Yeah, I mean, right now, the division is still tough. I mean, you still got the Braves and the Nationals, who are really tough now in the division. So
yeah, they can't lose, man. They're like Parker Lewis, man.
Yeah.
No matter how we're doing, the Mets, you know, we can't get that division, man.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the highlight of the week, man, was Harvey Mania, man, or as Dwight Gooden said yesterday on Twitter, he said that that Matt Harvey should have a nickname, The Real Deal. And my goodness, man. Matt Harvey, man. This guy, he had a no-hitter going until Justin Morneau, John Cena's doubleganger. It's a bomb off the foul pole to break up Matt Harvey's no-hitter.
Right.
Which Matt Harvey would later, overall, he'd complete eight innings for the first time in his career. I think he struck out, how many, like six to eight batters, I think, and two walks.
I mean, this guy was impressive, man.
Yeah.
And Harvey, man, this guy. He allowed two hits. You know, this guy's been dominant. If you look at his career record so far, I mean, I know he's, 6-5 with a mid-2 ERA. I don't remember the statistics, basically. But if you look at the record, man, his numbers are pretty similar to Nolan Ryan when he was, debuting with the Mets and even Strasburg in mm-hmm. his early career.
Yep.
And this guy, man, he looks like the real deal for real.
Real deal Holyfield. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Harvey almost had that no-hitter yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, he looks like he could be a great pitcher.
Exactly, man. And Bobby V even, gave him probably the highest praise ever so far for Matt Harvey. I mean, he said that he thinks Harvey could be the best pitcher ever. And that's saying a lot. You know, you have Tom Seaver. You have, of course, Doc Gooden. A bunch of guys. The list goes on and on. There's so many guys who put on the Met uniform. I mean, Mets is historically a pitching, a pitching organization. And to, you know, put Matt Harvey on that. He only has 6 wins. I mean, you know, he briefly in his, you know, his young career, he has what? Let me see. He has like 13 career starts. So, obviously he has that potential. And, this guy, he has something that rarely young guys have.
Right.
You know, he has that will to win. He wants to be the best. I mean, this guy is, before the season started, he was training, running up the stairs of Citi Field in the stands. I mean, this dude predicted that he's going to win 20 games. I mean, my gosh, man.
Talk about commitment.
This guy is a throwback, man.
Yeah.
And some people say his pitching, you know, drive is similar to Seaver. I mean, this guy is like a legend in the making, man.
Hey, you got to keep it up. We'll see what happens with him. You know, he's already 3-0, right?
Yeah, 3-0. And his ERA is so far is .80.
Wow. So far, so good.
Yeah, man. If you gave him a dollar, you'd have to give him change based on his ERA. But, seriousness, man, this guy, man, hopefully he keeps it up, stays healthy, and hopefully lead the Mets to some multiple championships.
Yeah.
But we shall see. And, let's shift gears quickly to Rangers. They won yesterday overtime, 1-0. Lundqvist had 29 saves. And, you know, the Rangers, you know, they're trying to build on, you know, trying to get to the postseason, having a lockout season. And they did a surprising trade, I think. What was it, like a week or two ago when they traded away Gaborik? But those guys, that first day when they played, you know, they really contribute. So hopefully this it will work out well for the blue shirts.
We'll see. I mean, I don't think it's a smart idea to trade your best scorer, but see what happens.
Yeah. So we shall see about that. Let's go. WrestleMania recap, man. Where do we start? The Shield. One, as we predicted,
mm-hmm.
Big Show basically knocked out his teammates. No surprise there. Ryback losing to Mark Henry. That was a surprise because, I mean, Ryback needed the win to justify himself as a main eventer.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. The Miz beats Wade Barrett in the pregame show, but we didn't see it because we were trying to get our food.
Mm-hmm. Then and we were late to make it work.
And then on Raw, he loses the title. So it's like what happened on WrestleMania didn't even happen.
Yeah.
The Brodus Clay Tensai versus Rhodes Scholars didn't happen. That happened on Raw.
Yep.
What else happened? Okay, let's go to the main stuff. Swagger loses to Del Rio, and Ziggler does not cash in the money in the bank, but he did on Monday for Epic event. But let's see what else happened. Triple H versus Lesnar. Pretty awesome match. What you thought?
Pretty good match. Pretty physical. It was a second best match, I would say, in the night after the Undertaker CM Punk match.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. Even though Triple H winning was predictable, and that was the problem with all these matches, the top four matches, all of them were predictable. I mean, CM Punk, Undertaker, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, most likely the streak would continue, and it did. And,
No,
you can't argue with that. I mean, obviously, they made it personal with the Paul Bearer stuff. So, definitely with the streak and making it personal, you know, Undertaker had to walk out as champion. But that match was a show stealer.
Right, exactly.
Let's see, what other matches was there? I guess other than that was we did talk about Triple H and Lesnar, right? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So the main event, Cena versus Rock. I mean, the match was great, but the finish to me, I mean, due to their injuries, I mean, normally I'm a guy, you know, who's old school, love the Attitude Era style of wrestling, you know, doing multiple finishers and stuff like that, kicking out and all that stuff, but because of the injuries both guys suffered, I mean, they were like on a finisher reversal overdose. It was like too much.
Yeah, it was. It was like you said. It was a little too much there. I mean, it was like they kept repeating it over and over again.
Exactly, and there was no hesitation. It was like you know, they hit the finishing move and then they pinned the person. It's not like when RVD hits the 5-star frog splash, he rolls out of the way and then he tries to slowly crawl back to try to get the pinfall. They hit their finishing move and automatically jump on them, which 99.9% of the time, when you do that, that means the match is a wrap. But that wasn't the case. And I think that's what watered down the match. Plus, Cena didn't turn heel. And for my take, being a Rock fan, Rock, you know, he didn't walk out as champion as usual. So I think the predictability of that match, plus the too many finishers in the end, I think that kind of watered down the match for me. But I still think it was better than the first one.
Yeah, I think, it was, I think the match this year was maybe slightly better than last year.
Yeah.
I think. But, yeah, I mean, the outcome of it, I mean, it was predictable because, I mean,
yeah,
Cena is going to win the title anyway, you know, regardless.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
But yeah, that reversing the finisher and kicking out the finisher thing towards the end, that kind of killed the match there a little bit.
Yeah, and normally those matches, doing that makes the match more epic because normally, like on Raw or SmackDown, when a person hit their finishing move, it's like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But theirs, I mean, it was just, I literally lost count how many times they hit finishers and reverse finishers at the end. I'm serious.
I think it was like 50 times.
It really seemed like it. That's what messed up the event. I mean, overall, going there, being at the event, you know, WrestleMania was awesome. Never been at WrestleMania as well as you've never been there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, man. It definitely killed the match, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, the WrestleMania, it was a good WrestleMania. It wasn't great,
yeah.
It wasn't bad, you know, but it was good.
And I think that was the problem. WrestleMania is supposed to be great. It's supposed to be 10 out of 10, but because there was no surprises, I mean, there was no major surprises, I think that's what watered down the event. I think overall, because the top four matches were great. And for me being there for the first time, you know, the atmosphere, I give it an 8, but I'd have to deduct 2 points because there was no surprises, nothing really epic happened. Yes, Cena beat Rock for the first time ever, but I mean, there was no surprise.
Right. Yeah, I would give it an 8. You know. Didn't have to aid based on experience, you know. I mean, it was great to go there, you know, to my first WrestleMania and, you know, see the big crowd and see the superstars,
in the ring, and afterwards, you know, we start to see the superstars leaving, you know, and in the back door entrance, you know, when we were going home. So it was a great event, you know, and it was great to be there.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was definitely an experience that we'll never forget for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still a little PO'd that, you know, next year, you know, it's not going to be at MSG. I know I'm being, to be honest with you, I would have preferred, they should have just put this one, the WrestleMania 29, they should put WrestleMania 30 at MSG or at the MetLife Stadium, but, you know, hey,
yeah.
What can I do?
Right.
They want to make money off the, you know, they want to set attendance records, you know. So that's why they're just basically doing football stadiums now.
Yeah.
And speaking of MSG, it was a great Hall of Fame ceremony that they aired on TV.
Yeah, it was great. And the Mick Foley speech and presentation, that was the highlight of the night.
Oh, yeah, the impromptu match.
Yeah.
Squash match between Jericho, since Mick Foley hinted that he never pinned Foley. So Punk, you know, obviously the top heel in WWE right now, he breaks character and becomes referee and pins. He referees the match, and
mm-hmm.
Foley drops an elbow drop on Jericho and goes for the pinfall. I mean, that was a pretty epic moment right there.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
I was going to say, but then again, it doesn't count. But then again, I mean, everything in WWE, I mean, it is scripted, so.
Exactly.
I guess, you know, nothing really does count when you think of it in that sense. But it was a great event. You got very deserving people. You know, you had Booker T, Trish, what's his name again? Bob Backlund.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bruno, the main event guy, returning to MSG to sell it out one more time.
Yeah, and his man crush buddy, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger was his inductor, and, you know, he basically was telling a story about how, you know, when he first met him, he was a contestant for Mr. Olympia, and Bruno was the judge, and this was his first time in America. So he was just obsessing over, you know, how built, you know, Bruno Sammartino was, and he was saying, like, there has to be something wrong with the country, you know, because the judges are bigger than the contestants. So, I mean, it was a great event.
Yeah.
It definitely was.
I mean, it was great. And Raw the next night was ruckus, and the crowd was drunk. You know.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was. Yeah, but they did save, I mean, I have to admit, I mean, they were crazy, but they did save Raw, you know, post WrestleMania Raw. I mean, with their reaction to Ziggler cashing in finally, which he should have did on WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And them starting the Fandangoing craze, which, I mean, who the heck would have ever thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, this song is okay, but I'm you know, it's not stuck in my head.
They kept chanting the song like all day long, and apparently it's like number 9 in UK iTunes or something like that.
Really?
So people are literally going crazy over the Fandango music.
Wow.
But let me see. Well, I guess that's basically it. You have anything you'd like to say, Mac?
Well, check out my show, iMac, Saturday nights at 11 p.m. And check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thank you. Only on Block Talk Radio. So, folks, I want to thank you all for listening. Can't do the show without you guys. And, of course, we'll be back next time. Same time, same back channel, same back station, or whatever they used to say back in the day. But anyway, congratulations to the Knicks winning the Eastern Division.
I mean, the Atlantic Division and the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. And, of course, next week we'll be talking about the Celtics versus the Knicks.